Robbie Buck with you across New South Wales and the ACT here on ABC Local Radio, and good to have you along. We're live from the Australian Museum. There are people wandering through the displays here, just checking out some of the animals and display cases after dark as part of the Jurassic Lounge. And something for you if you happen to be a chocolate lover. Who isn't? Most of us are, aren't we? I mean, there are a couple that don't like it. We are joined tonight by Galit Segev, who is a food scientist and a lover of sweet things, including chocolate. Hello, Galit.
Hello, Robbie.
Wow. When did you first discover that chocolate was the thing for you?
Oh, it's really hard to answer because I think that I always love chocolate. And I think that probably for me, the more I learned about it and the complexity of chocolate, I loved it even more.
Yes.
So it's a growing love affair, I would say.
Well, you very kindly, and I have to say I was somewhat nervous that you wouldn't arrive with any goodies. You have come to the desk where we're set up tonight with a little tray, and you've got two little puddles, if you like, of what looks like mousse sort of consistency.
No, it's not a mousse, it's a chocolate ganache. And chocolate ganache.
Can you do that again? No.
It's a chocolate ganache. And okay. Chocolate ganache is actually a fancy word for a mixture of cream and chocolate.
Okay, so it's very good for me and my figure.
Definitely.
Yeah. I've got the dark one here. Is that the best one to go with first?
I would suggest to start like wine tasting with the lighter
okay.
one.
All
so
right.
The one that you hold at the moment is white chocolate ganache.
Okay.
And it is flavored with lime and basil.
Oh,
so go for it.
Lime and basil?
Yeah.
I have to say that sounds a little strange.
Strange is good.
Okay, let me taste it. It's a very creamy texture.
Mm-hmm.
That was the word I was going for. Sorry, my taste buds were doing all sorts of things.
Are they happy?
They are very happy. That
good.
Is delicious.
Thank
I
you.
Thought the basil might be overpowering, but it's the lemon's really on top, isn't it, cutting
yeah.
through the chocolate flavours underneath that, and then that little hint of the basil that
exactly.
follows it through. Where did that come from? Is that one of yours?
I don't know. Yeah, it's my recipe.
Is
because
it? Yeah.
One of the things I love to do is to develop recipes and mixture things and weird combination and not very weird combinations. But one of the ideas that I had when I came here is just to, I like to push people out of their comfort zone and just to be a bit open-minded and try different flavors. So
yeah.
that's one of them. And the dark ganache is basically with truffle oil.
Okay, I'm going to...
So it's a bit more mushroomy and a bit more earthy and heavier.
I want you to, wherever you're listening tonight, if you're in the car or maybe you're at home, I want you to understand that I'm only doing this purely for the pursuit of science and journalistic integrity, not because it looks so delicious sitting on the plate in front of me. Once again, same sort of texture, isn't it? It's that...
It is quite creamy.
Creamy,
and,
yeah. And that, that's a really deep chocolatey flavor, isn't it? Like deep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Incredible. So what's in that?
I have the dark chocolate
yeah.
and cream. That's what make it a ganache.
Yeah.
And that's flavored with truffle oil.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the science behind chocolate. What are some of the scientific elements, if you like, that intrigue you about chocolate?
I think that the complexity of the flavors of chocolate, and on top of that, the fact that cocoa butter is quite special. And it is special because of something that's called polymorphism, which is a fancy word to a few forms. So basically, cocoa butter can crystallize in six different forms.
Right.
And when we are talking about tempering chocolate, it's basically selecting the form, which is crystal number 5.
Okay, so hang on a second. Slow down for a second.
Slow down. Okay.
Tempering chocolate. Now,
tempering chocolate is basically if you have a tempered chocolate, it is desirable because it will give you really good gloss and really good snap of the chocolate.
So what is it? It's the part of the process when you're making the chocolate and you heat it?
Sort of. It's basically when you are selecting the right type of crystals in the cocoa butter that will give you the desirable characteristic that you're after, which is the gloss and the snap.
Right.
And this is a temperature dense.
Okay, so in much the same way for fine wines, for example, you're talking about at this level, there are people who are really aiming for that excellence in what they do.
Of course, yeah. It's all about excellence.
So what is an excellent chocolate? What is the chocolate that is considered really great?
It's really a hard question. I think that probably, maybe if I would like to simplify things, this is a chocolate that is made from only cocoa butter and cocoa mass, which is the cacao beans that are actually ground, and that's the basic of your chocolate, rather than having other things there, like other fat from palm oils that give you this oily feel in the roof of your mouth.
So I take it you don't eat very much milk chocolate or...
I do
eat... Or white chocolate.
I do, but I must admit that I prefer really, really dark chocolate because I like the intensity of the flavours. And actually, there is a product that called Cocoa Mass, which is 100% chocolate. And it is so... I love it. It's really bitter and lovely, and I love it. But I'm a bit weird.
Yes, you will. You're obviously a great chocolate lover. If you've joined us tonight... Galit Segev is a food scientist, a lover of chocolate and lover of sweets. So do you have a little laboratory of your own where you mix things up?
Oh, I do. I have it in my house and I just mixing things and it's get a bit crazy sometimes. And I have a 7-year-old child that told me yesterday, "Mom, enough with the experiments. We don't want to eat the same food from yesterday." So yes, I do love to experiment. I like to try different combinations and I just love to try new things.
Mm. Do we hear about a shortage going on in getting the raw ingredients for chocolate?
Mm.
Is that the case? Is there a lack of the good quality raw ingredients to be found for making chocolate?
I'm not sure. I think this is a little bit like coffee and like everything else. If you have good quality raw product, like everything else that you have better product. And in the cocoa industry, basically the cacao beans that are lower in quality are usually being ground and pressed, and the cocoa butter goes to the cosmetic industry, and the good quality cacao beans are going to be used for a good quality chocolate. So yes, I think so. Yeah, like everything, you know, if you have a good start, a good product to start with, you can't get really wrong, isn't it?
Well, in general, I guess. I mean, that tastes like it's pretty darn good, I have to say. I would be very interested in knowing, for those of us who don't have the expertise as a food scientist that you have, how we should be going about working out what is a good chocolate or not. I mean, theoretically, if it tastes good, it is good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, good is quite subjective in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something that I love, like my 100% chocolate, is not good for other people. But, you know, good is subjective, you know.
All right.
If you like it, it's good.
Just out of interest, cooking with chocolate is probably another interesting one as well. What are the major points to remember when you're cooking with chocolate?
If you are just melting chocolate, you just need to make sure that you don't use temperatures that are too high because you can burn the chocolate.
So
but with cooking, like savory, I love cooking with chocolate. It's really beautiful with...
I bet you do.
Oh, yeah. It's really beautiful and really nice combination with red meat and wine. So a lot of time when I make like a stew, I add a little bit of dark chocolate and it just really gives this sweetness and a bit more complexity. It's really, really delicious.
Mm, okay. And just finally, Galit, you were just mentioning in the news there that you've been cooking with, was it liquid nitrogen and chocolate?
Yes. What I've done for the launch of the Science Week, I made ice cream that was made with dark chocolate and blue cheese. And I used... It sounds weird.
Well, I know. And I have to say, I frowned a little bit when you told me about the basil in the white chocolate with the lemon. And, of course, it was a triumph. Delicious.
Of course.
Yeah. So this one worked as well, did it?
Yeah. It's actually quite nice together, surprisingly. And that's the whole thing. It's just about pushing people a little bit out of their comfort zone and trying different combinations. Yeah. And, you know, you might like it or you might not. But it's really nice to try. So that was actually, when you make ice cream with liquid nitrogen, the advantage is because liquid nitrogen is really, really cold. It's minus 196 degrees. So basically you just get very quick ice cream, so you don't need to wait for too long, which is a good thing. And the other thing is that you get really, really smooth, creamy texture because it just freezes so
just
quickly.
Like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Galit, we could talk about chocolate all night long. We won't, but thank you very much for dropping by tonight.
Pleasure.
It was
it's a
fantastic.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Galit Segev, who's a food scientist, taking you through some of the secrets and science behind chocolate.